CBSI and the World. I'm John Batts with Gregory Copley, my colleague and friend, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Xi Jinping also, in these last days, shaking hands, what you'd have to say, without a great deal of grinning, with the Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Kishida, who you will recall his government has pledged to support Taiwan in the event it is attacked by China. The description of this meeting after the photograph, the meeting between Xi and Kishida is, quote, a half step forward, but it will not resolve all tensions. Japanese financial newspaper The Nikkei's editorial team writes, the team opines that the most consequential issue is China's expansion across the East China Sea, which compromises Japan's national security, particularly as cross-strait tensions with Taiwan worsen. Japan must therefore focus on, quote, confidence building at the leadership levels. Gregory, I've recently had occasion to interview Professor Gary Bass at Princeton University of his new book, Judgment at Tokyo. And there's much to say about the war crimes trials, 46 to 48, and the whole idea of winner's justice. However, inside all of this, this was happening during the Chinese Revolution, where Chiang Kai-shek was overthrown by Mao. What came clear, because the book extends to modern times, about the relation or lack of relation between China and Japan, what came clear is that these two powers of Asia haven't liked each other for a long time, don't trust each other, and are not looking to be friends. They're looking to either defeat each other or best one another. Has that changed in some fashion with Xi Jinping on his charm offensive, as you say?
Well, this has run hot and cold since the collapse of the imperial government with the death of the Empress Dowager in 1908. This has been, or even before that, it's been fluctuating back and forth. Japan has needed the strategic depth and the resources of Asia, and that's what led it to embark on its attempts during the first part of the 20th century into stabilizing parts of China so that it could extract minerals and could then also export its products to, particularly to Manchuria, which it created into a new state called Manchukuo. And Manchukuo, of course, didn't survive, but the U.S. and others were pledged to the territorial integrity of China. But this was a back-and-forth thing. There was extreme violence on the part of the Japanese in particular during that period. But really, at that stage, you had a number of hot and cold periods between the various Chinese warlords, with even Chiang Kai-shek and the Japanese. We've seen that the problems of the collapse of China were not attributable to Japan, neither in the imperial era or afterwards. They were attributable to internal infighting, which Japan tried to either stabilize or take advantage of. So, yes, there's no love lost in any event between Japan and mainland China. So, essentially, the Kishida-Xi meeting on the margins of the APEC summit were important because it showed, as with Xi's attempt to court Joe Biden, they were trying to reduce the risk levels between the two countries and revive the economic cooperation. As I said, that's not going to happen. And all of the Japanese newspapers said, well, look, this meeting didn't achieve anything, but we know what the underlying motive of it was that the Chinese would be prepared to promise anything if they could get some recommitment of investment and trade from Japan and the United States, and even with Australia to some degree. But the reality is that that's all smoke, and the Chinese promises mean nothing. They haven't changed their overall outlook towards expanding the PRC's role in global politics, but they do want to make sure that the Communist Party wants to make sure that Xi Jinping gets its economy back in order before they do much more of anything. And there are a number of people within the Communist Party of China who, in fact, favor strenuously favour returning to the good old days of high interaction with the great capitalist societies of Japan, the United States, Western Europe, the United Kingdom, and the like. But it's too late for that now. But what is really interesting is that the opposition within the People's Liberation Army and within the Communist Party has now stopped hiding. They are openly criticizing Xi Jinping now. And the question is, how long can Xi keep the job?
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs publisher and editor. We're going to turn to a new president-elect in South America. And what does it mean for the Falklands? I'm John Bunch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.